This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home in a second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Great to have your company on this edition of Punter's Postmortem. We've got the most esteemed gentlemen in the world of racing about to join us with all their thoughts, the good things, the bad things that come from the weekend. And we invite your calls on 13 53 53 as we build up to what's going to be the first of three massive Saturdays at Eagle Farm, hoping the track can stand up to that amount of racing as we build up to the Stradbroke Handicap, which is Queensland's biggest race, and the Doomba Cup on the weekend. Sense of occasion, getting the chocolates with Chris Lees, the trainer, and Corey Brown. It's his third Group 1 since returning from Singapore. Down at Morphettville, a spectacular day of racing. The David Hayes stable with two winners, including Furyk in the last and Vega Magic from Perth in the Goodwood around that $4.80 mark. And now Vega Magic is one of these horses will be now targeting the Everest, the $10 million Everest. And while at Rosehill Gardens, we saw some good competitive racing with Tommy Berry, a winning double in New Universe, getting home at odds on. While in Melbourne at Flemington, David Hayes with four winners, which is quite incredible. That stable is on fire. A man who is always hot is Ronnie Duffersey. Good morning, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Good racing Australia-wide. I was in Queensland and they had a heavy nine and just got upgraded to a heavy eight. But I must say that Doomben track played pretty well across the board. Horses up the front, up come from behind, inside, outside. So I think the punters would have been happy with how that track played. But like you said, all eyes are on Eagle Farm this week. Competitive meeting at Rosehill Gardens and Group 1 racing and at Morphettville and Flemington was a dead-set blackout for punters. There was long shots galore getting home there.
Yeah, it's that time of year in many, many ways, isn't it? Let's get up to Queensland if we possibly can, to the beautiful Sunshine Coast. I've got to say, Josh Fleming, good morning, buddy. That Doomben track has done a remarkable job when you think that Eagle Farm was shut for that time, and it had meeting after meeting after meeting, and the wear and tear, well, it's held up pretty good.
Been absolutely remarkable, Terry. G'day to you and Ronnie Duffersey as well. Yeah, look, it's been a saving grace for Brisbane racing last couple of years, let's be honest. Obviously, Eagle Farm out for so long and the drama that we've had there since we went back to racing there roughly this time last year. Of course, we were supposed to go back on Oaks Day last year. That was delayed with rain. So the weather wasn't kind to us then. I do believe, I think you spoke about it a short time ago, Terry, that the weather is supposed to be kind to us this week. I don't think there's any rain forecast for Brisbane this week. I spoke to a couple of people at Doomben there Saturday and they said if we're at Eagle Farm, we would have been a heavy 13. we may have started, but we might not have got through, but look, hopefully, you know, if we can have a good drying week, which it looks like we're going to get, we'll see where that track does get to over the next 4 or 5 days. But heavy 13 it would have been apparently a couple of days ago, but we'll see where we get to by this weekend.
And down in Melbourne, big fields at Flemington, there was plenty of sunshine, there was plenty of long shots that got home as well, but David Hayes with the four winners. Dean Lester, good morning. That stable is just rocking and rolling.
They certainly are, TK. They had a ball in Adelaide with Vega Magic and Furyk and all of those horses. But at Flemington, they put on a good show as well. An extra zero winning at his 100th start just to top it off.
Yeah. he wasn't really a punter's favourite in the very, very beginning, was he? Extra zero, but he's been around for a long, long time now.
Oh, he's been a good place punter's in the past. But he was a winner on Saturday. Yep. And, but the average price of the winners on Saturday at Flemington was $24, so it probably sums up the day.
Yeah, that would have been extremely difficult. Glenn Muzzy from tab.com.au would have been celebrating that fact. I guess you just broke
place
even at Flemington.
No good. Oh, placings were terrible today.
Yeah. I knew
you'd
say that.
You know, our punters were very, very smart, you know, and staying away from those 100-to-1 chances straight out, but, you know, really sort of labelling the place getters throughout the day there. And, yeah, one of my favourite horses getting the money there on Saturday, Extra Zero. I've always been promised an extra zero by the organisation, and I think that was the only way I was going to get one when he retired.
Well, they actually put that on the beginning of your wages, don't they? Not the end of it?
No, they just paid a 3 decimal points.
Yeah, exactly right. And Glenn, I'd love to know that the strike rate of the Perth sprinters that come across, and I'm going to call it an Eastern. It is Eastern of east of Perth anyway, isn't it? Morfettville with this Vega Magic, $4.80 winning the Goodwood and now probably off to the Everest.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. David Hayes, always the the man looking ahead, saying, you know, surely now he'd be well suited in a race like the Everest, and would someone have
like
a spot
pay
for him? Yes, yes. So well done to David doing that. But yeah, these Perth sprinters have been a fantastic, you know, well, what's 10, 15 years now? Yeah. They just came to
maybe
come
longer,
over.
Maybe longer.
You know, it didn't come over with, you know, you wouldn't say it was an outstanding Perth sprinter. You know, it probably the toughest race it ran in over there when it met a few of the Eastern Staters was in the Winterbottom. And it only started a $12 chance that day and could finish seventh behind Takedown. So it wasn't here coming as though it had beaten everything that had ever gone up against. It had won nine times in 14 runs over there. But probably the most serious race it ran in, it only finished midfield in. But, you know, Craig Williams, he had a day out as well in Adelaide on Saturday and just put it in the right spot and was very, very well supported, you know, to run second pick behind Blackheart Bart.
Winks, just giving you a little bit of an update there. Of course, 17 in a row out. Spelling set to return to pre-training very, very shortly. We'll have a couple of barrier trials and we'll be running in the Warwick Stakes in August. So there's going to be a massive build-up to that. And Ronnie, as we talk about David Hayes, as soon as it gets across the line, I think any Group 1 sprinter, they'll be saying, oh, would someone like to go 50-50 in the Everest? Or you work your own odds out, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. It's there's a few now, like we had Redzel last week. They put their hand up when he won the Group 1. Yep. So it's taking shape every time a nice sprinter comes along. It's still tricky for the slot owners because to lock in so early, I think it's a bit of a cat and mouse game, really. You'd want the horses to come back and barrier trial and make sure the timing's all right before you actually sign away your slot, because things can go wrong. So it's an interesting game. Yeah. We're still a way out. Early moves could be dangerous, or you could miss the boat. So it's a tricky one.
Yeah. Dino, when you think about it, there's no need to panic yet, is there? We're a long way out. If you owned a slot and there wasn't anything absolutely outstanding.
No, well, that's true. It'll be interesting in the early season if some three-year-old jumps out of the box and states a case. Certainly the slipper winning filly is heading that way, but a horse that we don't know of yet. That'll be the intrigue.
Oh God, we can talk about the slipper curse and all of that. It's a curse that I've always wanted to have.
Yes, never absolutely. It's like the Derby curse.
I know it's not a three-year-old, but I read that Russian Revolution was potentially going to go off to stud or anything, but he's now going to race on. So that there's another horse that'd be, wanted to be looked at as an Everest type horse, just a little bit more mature and 1200 there and everything like that. But at the moment, all you're doing is you're just throwing names around and the race is run on the 14th of October. Yeah. And the last time I looked, we're still in May.
Yeah. No, it's big money though, isn't it? It's massive money and it's creating the sort of interest that everybody wanted it to create. So I think if that's the case, Duff, we've got to say it had a positive influence.
Yeah, well, we keep talking about, like you said, as soon as a sprinter wins, the first word that comes out of your mouth is Everest.
Yep.
Oh, it's so, it'll be interesting, like I said, 6 or 8 weeks out, who's in work, who's got the timing, who looks to be in form, and who's going to make a move.
Yep. Let's have a look at this Durban Cup. Sense of Occasion was kept fresh for Chris Lees. It's his third Group 1 of the season. I think I mentioned Corey Brown's third Group 1, Josh, since he's come back from Singapore, and really, they went out pretty hard, I thought, in Sense of Occasion. Corey was out the back smoking the pipe and just came with a beautifully timed run.
Yeah, he got in onto the right train out wide, didn't he? He had cover and he got to the outside and finished home over the top. It was a big finish. I didn't know where to look at the 200. You could see Star Exhibit sort of got to single gaze. You could see Rudy Emily Star get up on the inside, and Sense of Occasion was the late Blouser out wide. Ronnie, there was more speed in the race than I thought. Anyway, I was expecting it somewhat to probably lead, but Torvray was able to kick up and hold out it somewhat for the lead, and he just didn't get the favours there as what he got in the Hollandale, seemingly.
No, he was the fly in the ointment, wasn't he, there? The 200-1 chance, Torvray. I'm not real sure Richard Friedman was really happy with those tactics, to tell you the truth.
Jeez, it went hard.
You're not real sure. I'm positive. Yeah, there he stood under a sprinkler to cool down after the race.
You could have cut the air with a knife there for a moment.
Welcome back to horse training.
Exactly.
Yes.
Welcome back to horse training.
But yeah, they did roll along, and it did probably suit the Sense of Occasion.
Roll along.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had Ouvray leading on your speed map there, there is a small prize for you.
Yep.
There's some good runs in the race there, Joss. I thought that second horse had room to move. Star Exhibit. He's jumped up sharply in distance. He travelled like the winner and just blew out with that bit of a test late there. So I would have thought him and Amelie Star are two to follow out of the race. The other horse that was well fancied, Articus, well, he lost the plot in the yard.
Yeah.
He was just a big stallion. And
did he come in quite early, or did they leave him as late as they could?
No, he was in there pretty early, he got revved up.
Breton said he was gone by the time he got to the winning post the first time.
Yeah. Mm.
He just never, ever handled the going.
Yep. Yeah. McCreary did a good job. He was wide. He battled on well. But, a bit more speed on than I thought. It was set up for something to come for off the speed. And he didn't get that speed at the Gold Coast Sense of Occasion. There were a few good runs, you know, from horses back on the field that didn't get the speed on that day. But he got more speed on Saturday, and he was able to blouse them late. So.
Yeah. It's somewhat disappointing.
Yeah, look, he was. You know, he probably got taken out of his comfort zone, but still, you would expect him to be more competitive early in the straight before dropping off. But he dropped his whip there at the 300, but I don't think that didn't make any difference. He was plainly disappointing.
Yeah, and Articus seems to always have this massive rap. In fact, wasn't it close enough to favourite for a Caulfield Cup? And it finished, what, second last?
Yep, 14th, yeah.
Yeah, we just spoke about him. He's I wouldn't judge him on that. He seemed to lose the plot. I don't know whether he's just a mad, raving stallion he wants gelding or what's the story with him?
Yeah, well, Caulfield first up, he was like that. And then at Flemington, they brought him in right at the last minute, and he virtually ran out onto the track, and he totally different horse. But, pre-race is wrecking him.
Which is an absolute shame. Kanedna survived a protest from Oklahoma Girl. Kanedna was really, really strong though in that final 50-100 metres, Josh. And I guess they had a throw at the stumps with Oklahoma Girl. There was a slight bit of interference, but I think they came up with the right decision, didn't they?
I think so. I spoke to one of the stewards that was working at the meeting here at the Sunshine Coast yesterday, and he did tell me that the stewards, they weren't all in agreement with the decision. They weren't all unanimous, but obviously there was enough in agreement to dismiss the protest in the end, but apparently it wasn't entirely unanimous, I'm told. But, I guess the race sort of changed complexion, didn't it, boys, in the morning with the scratching of Dawn Wall, and her campaign for the Yokes is up in the air now after that scratching with the elevated temperature, and that meant Kanedna started a short price favourite. And how good's John Allen? I mean, she was in a bad spot at one point. She was four back on the rail at one stage. She was able to get off the fence and get into the right part of the track and finish home with Oklahoma Girl, and just out tough her late. An eye catcher from Perilous Love. I'll put the Queensland cap on for a second. She was a very good run, hitting the line well. I think she should appreciate the step to 2,400 metres. But it's looking Kanedna and Egg Tart as we head towards the Oaks, and even the filly that won there in Adelaide on Saturday, Anna Royale, even though she finished behind both Egg Tart and Kanedna, she'll have to try and turn the tables on those two going to Eagle Farm. And I think I read they want to try and find a slot for a track gallop for Dawn Wall at the Gold Coast to try and get that campaign back on track. So it's sort of her campaign's up in the air now after she was scratched on Saturday.
Okay, and Kanedna's firmed into $6, Glenn, at tab.com.au for the Queensland Oaks.
Yeah, just looking at the Oaks market, and all it did on Saturday was confirm the Egg Tart form in both Adelaide and Brisbane. because of those two horses. But the Oaks Mark as it stands now, Egg Tart the 3.30 favourite. I think she's going to trial on Friday, Chris told us on Saturday morning. Anna Royale now second pick at 5. Canedna at 6. Dawn Walls at 8. Oklahoma Girl, well, she's got to be fairly close to wherever Canedna is from Saturday. She's a $10 chance. And then there's a raft of them at 17. It was interesting in that Stewart's protest on Saturday. Alan Reardon said, well, whilst the bump was significant, they thought the bump closer to the line was more significant than the one further out.
Yep.
But it all boiled down to the actual distance between them at the finish. Mm. And if you have a look...
Well, Canedna was going away from her at the end.
But James Doyle got his whip caught in the reins too. Mm. Where, you know, he missed a beat there probably at about the 75-metre mark. And, you know, whether or not he could have got another one onto her, whether should, you know, she may have finished just that fraction closer.
Yeah. The JJ Atkins, Glenn, at tap.com.au, it's probably not the highest class JJ Atkins we've seen in recent times. Melody Bell, $6. Tangled, $6. But there's a big rap on this Kiwi, QG Phoenix, but you've got it pretty safe in the market.
Yeah, well, it's an $11 chance at the moment, TK. We haven't seen it in Brisbane at the moment. You know, with the JJ Atkins, because it comes at the end of the carnival, basically, you know, it's a lot of things are up in the air. Well, Tangled's the biggest firmer there because he'd come out and won last Saturday. Mm. All Too High Ying, who was in that same race as Tangled's there with him. You know, you got horses like Sambro's an $11 chance, and he's coming off a midweek win at Warwick Farm. Even Saturday's winner, Viridine, I don't know whether they'd press on to Brisbane with him. He's an $11 chance as well. And Aloysia, is that the right pronunciation, Dino?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw it on Saturday. It's a $15 chance. But
I thought she was pretty good, Dino.
Yeah, she first start in Australia. The former rounder in New Zealand had worked out pretty well. And, she's tiny. But she's obviously got quite a good motor and looks as though a mile would really suit her. I think she'd be making her way up there.
So just had the one trial, came off that one trial and was, I thought, super good on the weekend at Flemington and looks to have plenty of upside?
She'll appreciate the longer trip. I don't think there's any problem there. And I think she'll be okay on bad ground looking at her trials. Okay.
And I think the JJ Atkins is going to come down. I think when we see the sires on Saturday, we'll know what's handling that track and we'll have more of a hold on that race.
So do you think, Josh, do you think there's going to be a real Eagle Farm sort of, you know, either you could handle it or not handle it completely?
Oh, pretty much. I think that's what we've seen.
Even with good weather?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Look, the last meeting we had there, we'd had... Basically, after the remnants of Cyclone Debbie went through, we had very little rain for about 3 or 4 weeks. And we got to a midweek meeting there. We had a downgrade to a heavy 8 with no rain. And they were running 115 for 1,200. So, look, very, very trying conditions that day. And I guess only time will tell to see how that track does fare Saturday. Has it improved from that point on? I'm told they've chucked a bit more money at the track to try and improve it over the last couple of weeks. So... I guess we can only wait until we get there Saturday and see how it plays early on and try and get some sort of feel on the track, yeah?
Well, I think history tells you, though, unfortunately, quick fixes very, very rarely work as far as the track is concerned. The other thing that worries me about these wraps, QG Phoenix, is what about the wraps on that splurge for the weekend? And it would have been... Was it the biggest disappointment of your race day up there?
Well, I mean, I suppose with the wrap that came on him, you'd have to say so. I mean, Ronnie, that race was over after about 5 metres, wasn't it? I mean, he pinged in front Jungle Edge and that was as good as over from that point on. I mean, he dictated in front, they got nowhere near him. He was just out the back and never came into it. Splurged, didn't he, Ronnie? I mean, his replays look good. Yeah, he looked smart. He came here with a wrap on him and... he was just disappointing, unfortunately, and he was disabled to dictate in front of that horse. And I was reading this morning, Ree Jungle Edge headed towards a strap break. The trainer said, Mick Bell, we don't want any better than a good four. We guarantee you won't get any better than a good four the way that track's looking at the moment. So he may well just be a perfect Eagle Farm horse too.
I think you're right with Splurgy. The race was over after the negative start, and that race was the race to go forward. He had gone forward in the past, but... In saying that, I have to agree with everyone else. He was a big disappointment.
Let's have a look at the straight broke handicap market, Glenn, if we possibly can. Clearly Innocent has that remarkable record. If it was raced at Scone, Clearly Innocent would be a bit shorter than the 8 Buckaroos.
he would be. And,
but it's not, quite clearly.
He's not, but he's got to get to Brisbane now and, be safe in what he does and everything, but he's been made the favourite on the back of his form. He's an $8 chance. Counter Attack's at 10. There's differing reports about Blackheart Bart. I think Darren Weir says it's, no, and the owner says possibly.
I thought it was in the... Someone told me it was in the paddock, Blackheart Bart. We should...
Well,
Darren was pretty keen on radio Saturday morning to say he was only going to have a one-run preparation. Yeah. So.
But I'm sure the owner...
So be careful is the word there, Glenn, eh?
Well, I think he's got from $6 to $13 in a week, too.
Okay, well,
so
that tells you
no one wants to be on him. He's on that $13 line with Darren. McIntosh and Ullman, both $15. And then you've got Bonnie O'Reilly, Jungle Edge, New Universe, Silence Edition and Voodoo Lad at $17. And the Virginian who bounced back on Saturday, he was
Where'd the Virginian come from?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say after the event, but I think I had him third in my selections, and I thought, Josh, why didn't you tip him? He's run third in a Stradbroke, and I guess the jury was out as to whether he was going to be ready to win first up over 1,000 metres or not, but obviously they go hard in those 1,000 races with big fields at Doomben, and he was able to get off that hot speed and finish home over the top, so he looks like he's back. I think Toby Edmonds wants to go to the Stradbroke without another run, but he's about 56 in the order of entry, I believe, so he's obviously got to rely on an attrition rate, but you'd think if he got in as a Class 2 horse last year, he might be able to get in this year with a little bit more to his CV, but look, he's proven at Eagle Farm. Whether Eagle Farm's the same this year as it was this time last year with that track, we don't know, but he can't have done any more than what he did winning over the weekend.
Yeah, well, he's $18 there, or is he 54th in the order of entry?
I spoke to Toby's son Trent at the races here yesterday, and he said he's about 56th.
56.
So if that's right, but
that'd be on his handicap rating. You can't say where he'll actually be in the order of entry until the weights come out. That's just based on what his rating is at the moment.
Okay. And Bonnie O'Reilly at $17 in that market at tab.com.au for the Stradbroke handicap. Bonnie O'Reilly, 4 wins in a row now, 6 wins from 8 starts, and Bjorn Baker. I think he's always said the Tats Tiara more the aim, but. Maybe the Stradie on the way through?
Yeah, look, she's a good mare, lovely mare, and she's been beautifully placed. I just think she may be better off sticking to those fillies and mares races because there's some very suitable races for her. I don't think they'll touch that Stradbroke box, really.
No, well, if you look at you go back and have a look at these handicap ratings, the Virginian's rated at an 88, Bonnie O'Reilly's rated 77.5.
So
he's got to be a fair way beyond the Virginian.
If you're
judging it on that, anyway. Mm.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Vega Magic, a good-looking horse, a real ranger, no doubt. They always look good when they're stretching out their neck like Vega Magic did on the weekend to win that Goodwood Handicap. And as you mentioned, we've been discussing it too, David Hayes, believing just the perfect fit for the $10 million Everest. This one comes in morning, boys, TK. You could go back to Placid Arc as far as champion WA sprinters. Love the show. Cheers, Bo in Albury. Now, there was one, Dino, Placid Arc. We're talking different levels here.
In the modern age, he was the one that started all this, the WA sprinters, but... Yeah, he was to win the because it was different then. He won the Lightning Stakes and he backed up a week later and won the Oakley Plate. And I always look at that Oakley Plate and think it's nearly the best run I've ever seen individually of a horse because he won by 4 lengths.
Wow.
It was 5 lengths to third. The second horse was Special and the third horse was Rubiton.
Wow.
So he was an amazing horse, and that stretch he had was incredible.
Yeah. Still brings a sparkle to Johnny Scorse's eye.
Everyone
mentions its name. He grows about three feet taller.
Why not?
He's got the big prints on the wall there, the big frame print in his house, and stands proudly there.
So Dino, you think maybe one of the great wins you've ever seen?
Yeah, I think that Oakley Plate day, because the Oakley Plate, you think of it, there's usually 12 horses within about 3 lengths of each other.
Yeah.
He had them over 9 lengths, and the second horse was a star, Special. The next season she won the Lightning and the Newmarket when he wasn't around. And third was Rubiton, who the next Saturday won the Futurity, and then later on in the year won the Cox Plate.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Hard to argue against, really, isn't it, Ronnie?
Mm. Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Even Dino's memory is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, there's some things that you don't forget.
They stick, don't they?
You were on, were you, Dean?
No, I wasn't. Okay. It was just a run you just don't usually see. Like, you know, it was a bit like the day Hariba won down the straight by 7 lengths, and he was on the wrong side of the straight. They're amazing runs. They're not. Yeah. Doesn't make them, you know, immortal horses, but they're amazing runs.
No. I take your point, Max. Good morning to you. The panel's listening.
Hi, gang.
Hi.
Mate, Terry, I'll come back to you before I sign off, but I want to ask Dino a question and Munsey a question.
Okay, mate.
I'll start with Dino, mate.
Yep.
Yeah, Rockstar Rebel Dino, you're not throwing off on him on the Queensland Derby, are you?
Oh, look, he's testing the patience. I thought he'd just go to Bendigo and win easily, and he didn't. And the filly that beat him ran okay on Saturday, but he's got a lift. I thought he was a better horse than what he's shown the last two runs.
Thanks for that, mate. Now, Munsey, when you go to Hong Kong, you see all these betting moves and that, and I just want to clarify what a trio is.
A triple trio?
Yeah, they call them trio, so that might be what you're talking about, a triple trio, yeah.
Hmm. Well, it's the three trifectas, isn't it, Ronnie? Yeah.
Three trifectas on the one ticket. Hmm. They're all boxed numbers, so you got to... It's a big jackpot pool as a rule, so
it gets massive, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a hard one to get, obviously, Max. But you got to get three trifectas on the one ticket. They pick three races.
Right.
And you could take your bankers. There's all sorts of ways you could play the game on it. But that's basically what it is. You got to get three trifectas on the one ticket.
Mm. And do you know anyone who's got it, Ronnie?
Do I ever? Yeah. Mm. I know a lot of blokes have got it.
Mm.
Now, TK, I've got one for you, mate.
Yes, mate.
Yeah, what do you call an unemployed goat?
Should I answer? Well, I've got it, don't I? I'll leave Idol. With my chin, Max. What?
Billy Idol, mate. Yeah. Thanks, fellas.
Not bad. Not bad. I escaped that unscathed.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought I was... What was the go with Bobby Alessa on the weekend?
He was having lunch with his daughter not far from the track, and he got a pickup ride that they didn't tell him about, apparently. So, yeah.
He was there to ride Jesse Bell in the Doomben Cup, which was race 7 on the program at 4:01.
Mm-hmm.
And I must admit, I thought it a bit strange in the morning when I wrote down that he'd picked up a ride in an early race on, you know, a 200-to-1 chance or whatever it was, you know, right down near the bottom there.
Yep.
And when I looked up, I think Luke Rolls might have even ridden it.
Yeah, and Sausage got the pickup ride, yeah.
And next minute, you're reading the paper or social media that Bobby was up the road having lunch with his daughter when he should have been riding in the race at 2:41 in the Bright Shadow, the 200-to-1 chance Hella Ruse. So I'd say the managers got him the ride there and hasn't bothered to tell Bobby, thinking the fact he might have been at the races at that time. Yep. Albeit, you know, it's an hour and a half or a bit longer before he was due to ride.
Mm.
And Bobby could have jumped the fence and ridden Hellaroo as it was. He would have been that close to it.
Yeah. He was just down the road, I think, at a restaurant with his little daughter. And,
okay. Well, that was one miss there, no doubt about it. Did Little Engine down there in Melbourne, Dino, 58.5 kgs, blitzed them in the Andrew Ramsden over 3,200 metres. We don't see many two-mile races anymore, do we, on our calendar? One big one in November on that first Tuesday, but I think is that the heaviest weight ever carried to win the Andrew Ramsden?
It is, yeah, and it was probably a combination of he's in great form and it was just a weak race. I was a little bit worried about the weight because he's struggled with big weights in the past, but he's just in a good vein of form and won very easily. Ran third in it last year with 59.5 and went a couple of better on Saturday, as you said, the only other 3,200-metre race at Flemington.
Let's get back to the open line of 13:53:53. If you call now, you'll get through any queries, the good runs, the bad runs from the weekend, any horse you'd like to get the opinion of the boys that was disappointing on the weekend and maybe going forward for that Brisbane Carnival as well. Josh Fleming, Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffersey and Glenn Munsey all on the line. Hi, Craig. Good morning.
How you going?
Good, thank you.
Just like to compliment some of the stewards or whatever they're doing in Melbourne, or I don't know who's in charge of it in fact, but
Terry Bailey's in charge of the stewards in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not so much the stewards, but the jockeys. I've never seen a better group of young jockeys coming through. You've got your Bo Mertens, and I know Gauchy recently retired to join that sort of that crew that trains all the jockeys and brings them all up. But I've never seen a bigger group of, you know, young blokes that are riding so well. You've got your Benny Allens and your Thompsons, and they match your Olivers and all them good blokes down there week in, week out nowadays. So someone's doing a really, really good job down there. I don't know.
Okay.
You know,
well, Dino will know. So, yeah. Dino,
it's now with Darren Gauchy, of course, as mentioned. Matty Pumper, former rider, he's one of the coaches. And I think what they've done with the apprentice school is that they've probably been more stringent in the intake of apprentices. Like, they just don't take in
anybody.
You've got to look as though you're going to be able to maintain your weight. They don't take in huge numbers, and I think the training is working really well. Yeah, I think they've made it more like an academy than just you know, billeting out kids to trainers and learning on the run a bit. It's got a lot more strategy to it.
Right, so getting a little bit more selective and a bit more scientific with the way they're going forward.
Absolutely. Well, they work very much with the sports science.
Yeah.
And teach the kids the right way, and I think it's working really well. I think that group are just, you know, there's a bit of a coincidence too that we got them all at the same time. The Bo Mertens, Ben Thompson, Ben Allen, they've actually grown up together, and they've sort of pushed each other a bit, and that happens. It's happened in the past, and again, it's another really good group.
Good stuff. Let's get back to the open line on 13 53 53. Ron, good morning to you.
Yes, mate.
Hi, Ron.
Rick, when is my major carnivals like in Adelaide and Brisbane at the same time? Has ever been any thought given to switching one to Sunday?
Oh,
they did that in Adelaide. They did that with the Goodwood about 10,
because,
12
you know,
years
Sunday,
ago.
So after, you know, like Sydney Papers, we give Doom, Brisbane and Sydney a bit of a wrap, and Melbourne and Adelaide. Adelaide just gets left out, and it seems like such a waste.
Well, Ron, I agree with you in a way. I mean, it's just terribly hard to fit the carnivals in, and there's, in my opinion, a lack of cooperation between the states about trying to schedule their carnivals, and in the end, they'll tell you it's unavoidable.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the football's the rugby league and the AFL have moved their games around totally, haven't they, through the week? And maybe it's about time the racing industry thought about the same thing. At least on the weekends, use the whole weekend up rather than just on a Saturday.
Yeah. Dino, the moving of the Goodwood obviously didn't work so well to the Sunday.
Well, and they made it it was about 2006, I'd say. They might have done it maybe only once.
Yeah, they're ringing out, mate.
Yeah, so South Australian Derby and the Goodwood on the same day, tried to make it a Super Sunday, and the turnover, I think, was dreadful.
Okay, thank you.
No, good on you. It's always a problem at this time of year. Josh, you know, that clashing of the...
It's great from Flemington watching all the action.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to line things up. I think from a punter's point of view, Dino, this is only my personal, you know, experience trying to work out where you want to work out, where to concentrate, where you want to do the form for, where you want to have a bet. And I just think it's a... I don't know, it's probably just me. Maybe I'm easily confused. But it is hard to
concentrate. The one good thing is that they're at the pointy ends of the sort of 35 minutes, aren't they, when it's Brisbane and Adelaide as the feature races. Brisbane,
I think we're so turnover-driven these days. I mean, Saturdays will always turn over more than Sundays, won't they? So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like Group 1 racing during the day on a Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that's just maybe a bit old-fashioned, but certainly the way I like to see it. And I don't think we've got any... great solution. We often had national racing conferences, but I don't see too much cooperation between the states. This has been a really good story, Ronnie. This Jungle Edge back to East Best, beating High Midnight. It was very, very gallant. And Ullman, I thought, could be one to follow coming out of that race.
Yeah, he's definitely one to follow, Ullman, because he should handle that testing sort of Eagle Farm going as well, a horse like him. But he is a story. He bluffs them out of the lead, and when that does happen and he gets conditions to suit... he has a big sprint at the end of his races. So he's a marvellous horse. He's done a lot of travelling in recent times, and he's had a lot of hard racing, but he's just got great style, and he's just got the ability to go just as fast on a on soft going than dry going. So he's an absolute ripper.
I think the team enjoys being on the road, don't they?
I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure they do. He's an interesting character, the trainer, I can tell you that much.
And that's, Josh, you know, that's a way a bit of an appeal too with that Brisbane Carnival, particularly for the Kiwis or for the Victorians who can get up there, maybe stable their horses on the Gold Coast and have a little bit of a busman's, well, I shouldn't say that, a busman's holiday, should I? But, yeah, a little bit of a change of scenery is good for the horse and sometimes good for the trainer and the jocks as well.
Oh, absolutely. Look, there are some horses that come up here and don't even have a start over the Winter Carnival. They just come up here, get some sun on their back, and, I mean, you saw what it did to Winx. I mean, she started her streak, of course, winning here at the Sunshine Coast, and she hasn't looked back. She's won 17 in a row, as we know. But it's a beautiful story. Mick Bell, of course, his wife only passed away recently, and it's a wonderful feel-good story. And, you know, we had the Group 1 form around him out of the All Age behind Tavarchi in the Galaxy behind Russian Revolution. He's a swimmer and carries weight, and he pinged out in front, and they got nowhere near him. So, he was just far too good.
Hi, boys. Just watched McIntosh's two soft trials. Stradbroke thoughts, please. The duck.
Yeah, well, if he's headed that way, he's certainly he's a competitive horse. And when Chris eyes off a race with a horse, he's got to be respected. So he's certainly got the talent to perform well.
And just on that, Jerry has just texted in, hi, boys. I know he's getting on, but doesn't Kay Forrester ride a front runner well? Great to see him travel the country with Jungle Edge.
Yeah.
He's a freak, Kevin Forrester.
He's a character. Ronnie, how old is he?
55.
55?
Yeah. 54, 55.
Yeah, maybe a little bit older.
And Ronnie, I thought I was watching George Hamilton. Do you got a fair bit of sun there on the Saturday, did you?
Yeah.
Remember him? He used to do the... Yeah, get the mirrors and get the tan going on the face.
Yeah, no. It's from
what happened to you?
On Saturday.
Well, yeah, it was like there's no ozone layer there or something. You got your face looked very burnt.
Yeah, actually, just from standing out in the yard, I suppose. Yeah. I did get a little bit burnt, actually.
You don't need to be out in it for very long here.
No, exactly.
So. Exactly. No, you don't. No, exactly right. Hello, Shane. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Terry. Just two quick questions for Glenn, if I can, please.
Go for your life.
Yes, mate. Glenn, one's a sporting question. Will you ever introduce cash out for pick the margins in the rugby league?
I have no idea. Being the sort of thing that it is, like if you've got the other thing is, you know, with the cup, if you've got a game starting very, very close to the other, although the NRL now structure their games that they don't have games starting at the same time, but, you know, I couldn't tell you yes or no because I very, very much doubt whether it's even been discussed.
Okay. The other question was, 2 weeks ago, I took Religify the field in the Quaddy in Brisbane, and the first offer was 4,200 because the 100-1 chance won the second leg. Mm-hmm. I let it ride, and it somewhat ran the third leg. So it went from 4,200 for the first offer down to 1,600. I'm just wondering how you...
The favourites won the third leg, so there's more tickets live. Every ticket that had the 100-1 chances live going into the last two legs, you've run one more leg, so there's all those tickets have gone out, and the majority of those tickets would have been on the favourite if they're all the same thing. So that's why it'd go down.
I understand it goes on. But there was quite a big difference, obviously.
Yeah, well, mate, and you've also run an extra leg. So you're not going to get as much, with an extra leg being run.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks very much,
guys. Because there's less chances of that. There's only 16 chances left to win because you've had three legs decided, whereas, there's 16 by 16 if you've got two legs to run.
Good on you, Glenn. We do thank you for that. Duff, I know we've covered this, but Duff, your opinion on the Virginian, quite clearly this listener must have missed that.
He's an interesting horse because he had an injury over the spring and he'd had a couple of trials leading into that race, and you know we're still got it in the back of our mind whether that was just a fluke in that Stradbroke when he charged into third spot there on that track. But to resume at Doomben and put away a sharp sprinting field is very, very encouraging. It's not going to be so easy second up into a Stradbroke, off a 1,000 metre run. But Toby knows what he's doing. And, look, I doubt whether I'd be tipping him in a race like the Stradbroke, but I'm sure he'll have a lot of supporters.
Josh, you're a bit of a fan.
Yeah, well, he just came from the clouds man, I ran this time last year, didn't he? I think he won a class one, and then or was it the maiden that he won, and then he went enormous
in
the Gold Coast Guineas. He sat wide and he ran a terrific race, and he snuck into the Stradbroke field number 18, and he ran third chasing home under the Louvre and Blackheart Bart. So he sort of came from nowhere a bit. Just having a look back now, he won his maiden and then the Guineas, and then obviously he was a moral in a class one. He romped in there, and then he went from the class one to the Stradbroke, and he was only beaten 3.5 lengths. So yeah, he's very good. He was off the scene for a while. It was great to see him back over the weekend. As I was saying before, Toby's preference is to go straight to the Stradbroke. If he's worried he won't get a start, he will go to the Morton Cup. That's the old QTC Cup, which is at Eagle Farm, of course. That's 1,300 metres, not this week, the weekend after. So he'd then have to only be 7 days between that run and the Stradbroke should they go down that path.
Chris, good morning to you.
Just a question to Ron and one to Dean. Ron, I rang you up after the spring carnival, autumn carnival, to say I can't believe how much Sense of Occasion has improved as a horse. You think about when he won the Villiers at 40-1, which was a fluke. Then he's come out and he's run a placing in the two richest races in New South Wales. He goes to Brisbane and wins a Group 1. And due respect to the other horses, I know he was probably suited by the way the race was run, but he did sort of kick their heads in a bit on Saturday. He won very well. But I just can't believe, looking at him, that he's the same horse that was plodding around at Wyong and Gosford like 9 months ago. I can't think of another horse that's improved as much in recent times as Sense of Occasion.
I can't either. In recent times, last one I can remember, what's the horse of Robert Smerdens that went to Joe Pride, won a Doncaster?
Yeah,
Vision and Power.
Vision and Power. That's what I was thinking
it's
of
too. It's a bit like that, isn't it?
It is. It's bizarre. Like, I couldn't believe Vision and Power, and I cannot believe what I'm seeing with this horse. I don't know if it's Chris Lee's Newcastle, but you talk about a change of scenery or something. This is not the same. I mean, it's just ridiculous what this horse has done in the last 8 months.
And I reckon he's had four or five trainers.
Five trainers.
There you go. So it's not as if he hasn't been tried everywhere. And I agree, it's just the consistency in his form since that Villiers, there's no holes in his form whatsoever.
And you got a quick one about Ascadelia, Chris?
Yeah, I've got a quick one because I love watching Ascadelia. I think she's just a quality mare. But I just want to know, irrespective of anything else, where the hell is she and what's going to happen to her as a racehorse?
Well, until they sort out this ownership issue, she won't be doing anything. That's unfortunate to have a mare like her just sitting away in a paddock getting fat, but...
Oh, I don't know if she's been doing that, but I don't... No. That she's just... she's without a port at the moment, and if there's problems with the ownership that have been proven, the bona fides will be declared that they weren't correct when she raced. So she will lose all of her
all that prize
performance
money.
And prize money. Yeah, she'll go back to having won a race in New Zealand.
So at the moment, her nomination's been refused, isn't it?
Refused indefinitely, yeah.
And what will happen to her? What will happen to her then as a racehorse after that? Do we see her again?
Well, they'd have to establish who actually owns her, and then if they're fit and able to race a horse, and if they're not, then she might have to go to public auction or something like that. It's a messy situation. Her career's all but over, I think.
Yeah, but I just loved watching her race. I thought she was just such a quality mare. I just enjoyed watching
her. Well, she
was. She did what Sense of Occasion did last year, so run placings in our two richest races. It's just a shame from my point of view because I just like watching good horses and I want to see her again.
Well, I'm not too sure. I've got a date when that's back in. But it's getting to that very, very serious stage.
Kieran Maher was charged last week with it. That will play out pretty soon.
Yeah. There's no date, though. Dino, is there yet?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think there's... The charge has been laid, but no date has been set for that first hearing. Good on you, Chris. We do thank you for your call. We'll keep taking... We'll get Richard in if we can. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I just want to talk to Dean for a minute.
Go
Dean,
for your life.
Go, Richard.
Dean, you've given me a king-size headache. I'm sorry. You mentioned Hariba.
Yep.
A friend of mine used to have ownership in a horse in Queensland called Matani. And Hariba smashed the QTC Cup record in 96.
He did.
And ran 115. Well, Matani, my friend Sharon, came out in, I think he said it was 2005, and smashed Hariba's record. And he's always said, I've had a horse as good as Hariba. And now you've reminded him, he just rang me, and I said, well, I'll ring up Steve. and thank you for giving me another headache. Apparently, Matani was a very good sprinter and still holds the record at Eagle Farm for 1,300 metres since 2005.
And hold it forever the way the track is.
Yeah. Good on you, Richard. Good to hear from you, mate.
Okay, buddy. I love your program, by the way.
Good on you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
We do thank you for that. We've got a quick one from Kurt before we get the boys one to follow. Hi, Kurt.
G'day, TK. How are you?
Good, thanks, buddy.
That's the way, mate. Hey, Josh, how are you, mate?
Very well, Kurt. Yourself, mate?
Good, thank you, mate. Just quickly, mate, where's the Karaka Millions winner in Hardline, mate? I've been trying to look for it for ages, but it's not showing up anywhere.
Liam
Birchley's, I think.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
He's got you.
I'm just glad it's someone else.
I don't know. This is a G-up that I'm not aware of.
No. Kurt likes to follow horses.
Millions. I followed it. I told everyone about it. It went down there, nailed it. It come back. I think it raced once or twice and then been put away, but that was ages ago.
Its last start was New Year's Eve, apparently. Finished last at Eagle Farm. There you go.
In the Falvalon
no
quality.
Trial or anything?
No, it hasn't had a trial.
No, it's been... There's nothing coming up since then, so...
Oh, and just quickly, Dino.
Yeah, it's got
to leave you. Dino, mate, I'd love to win of Tell the Truth a couple of weeks ago. I'm packing them. I backed it on the weekend for a place. Bit unlucky, you reckon, for the missing the place?
Keep following. Just needs 2,000, Kurt. It's going very well. You found another
so
one.
So win next start, won't it?
If it gets over 2,000, yes, it probably will.
Especially in a lesser grade than that on Saturday.
Oh, it could be the same grade, just a bit further.
Cool bananas. Thanks, boys.
Good on you, Kurt.
Thanks, Kurt.
No, poor old Josh. I'll let you in on the story. Poor old Kurt terrorises Dina. In a nice way.
In a nice way.
He can follow obscure horses.
He might find one at Bath on a Sunday night.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Did you see that thing go around it?
Hey, what about, did you see the one, boys, that it was either in Ireland or UK, the one that shot eight in front? And the bloke got very casual on it and it scrambled in by a neck or something.
No.
Didn't see that one?
No,
that just reminded me of it, that's all.
Now, one to follow. Josh, have you got one for us to take?
Sir Statham, an ex-Kiwi, had his first run for Kelly Dowdy in the Chief De Beers behind the Virginian. He got knocked over once. He was held up in the straight and he got out flashed home late to run fourth. He actually wasn't beaten far in a Group 1 race in New Zealand around Start Wondering. So it was an eye-catching run there. Sir Statham out of the Chief De Beers.
Dino?
It's a big call. I might have seen the Melbourne Cup winner on Saturday.
Whoa.
A horse called Ventura Storm.
Nice run, wasn't it?
Lovely run, lovely horse, put away. Typical, absolutely to the day that Jeanne and Atalic had their first runs in Australia. They used to run in Adelaide in the Robert A. Lee Stakes.
Get 25s.
Yeah, good. he's a nice horse. Just... Long-term follow Ventura Storm.
Okay, long-term follow Ventura Storm.
There's been $590 invested on in the Melbourne Cup this year, $26.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's he's well enough found at $26. I'll wait a little bit longer, Glenn.
Yeah, okay. We'll get a little bit better. Okay, and Duff?
I think these two stayers are going to really thrive in Queensland at Darren Weir's, their Star Exhibit and Amelie Star.
All right, and Dean... Glenn, have you got one?
I thought Thrill Seeking went good again on Saturday for Maddie Smith. She's had two runs back this time and they've both been very, very good. She's got a foot right on the tilt.
I like that for a horse, Thrill Seeking. That's what we're all trying to do.
Congratulations, TK, for finding a winner. I'm astounded you haven't told everyone that you found the Dragons and Furyk on Saturday.
Well, it's not that I found the winner, right?
Right.
It was the fact that I declared it.
Oh, declared. Oh, there's a difference.
No, he was wrapping himself before about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't like doing that, Josh, as you know. But
much.
I was sort of got forced into a bit of a corner on it, but no.
Sorry. I drifted off into the ether. Someone rang me, and I must have missed that TK.
Owned by a good mate of ours, Michael Christian, too.
Yes, absolutely.
He's got a very, very nice horse on his hands there. Thanks, Dino. Thanks, Duff. Thanks, Josh. Thanks also to Glenn Munsey. That's this edition of Punters Postmortem.
Cheers, boys.
Postmortem.
See ya.